Good morning and happy Christmas to everyone. It's not a Sunday, but it's a day when we can come to worship God, a day set aside for that. This morning we've just set aside this hour so that we can come and thank God for all that we think about in terms of the real meaning of Christmas. Let's come to pray, shall we? Lord, we do thank you and praise you for this opportunity this morning that we might come aside from all those things that will give us enjoyment today, and Lord, that we might come to worship Christ, the newborn King, yet the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We praise you, Lord, for him this morning, who is the reason for this particular time and this season. And Lord, we come in amazement and astonishment as the shepherds, as the wise men, even Mary and Joseph, pondering, Lord, all the things that we see in your word, in our hearts, and wondering at your great grace and your love and your mercy towards us, that Christ, the Son of God, became man and dwelt among us, Emmanuel. We thank you, Lord, for these great things, and we pray that the wonder of them might pervade this place this morning, even as we share together and we worship together. Please help us then, Lord, we pray, in all that we do. We pray for those that are away from us, and we thank you for them, Lord, and ask you to bless them where they are. And thank you, Lord, for those gathered with us this morning in our families and others from other places. Lord, we thank you for Christian friendship and fellowship together. We pray these things might even do us good today, and maybe in a special way, and we ask it all for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, we have one opportunity a year to sing 166, so we need to take it. 166. Christians, awake, salute the happy morn whereon the Saviour of the world was born. 166.
God incarnate and the Virgin. morning? Yes, presents already. What do you have this morning? Joe? Some new clothes. Typical for a girl, I suppose, new clothes. That's right. We've got a little granddaughter, she's only 8 weeks old, and our son wrote an email and said she's already talking about new clothes. What else does anybody have? What?
We got a chip.
Got a what?
Chip.
A chip?
Chip. Chip.
A chip. Okay, well, tell me about that.
A G.
Okay, hello. A laptop. Well, before we sort of go higher and higher and higher, we better stop, haven't we? And I was hearing just recently about a little boy. I don't know what his name is. We'll call him Simon because it's a real story about this little boy who, he lived in a home where he went to church, just like you do, and he knew that some boys and girls went to Father Christmas and asked Father Christmas for certain presents for Christmas time. But his mum and dad had told him that, of course, Christmas presents don't come from Father Christmas, do they? That might be a disappointment to you, but it's true. They don't come from Father Christmas. And so, his mum and dad had said to him, well, you could write a letter to God. And the little boy actually did that. He actually sat down with a piece of paper and a pencil, and he wrote down this. Dear God, I've been really good this year, so please could I have? And then he stopped. And he crossed out this year, and he wrote, I've been really good in the last 6 months. Then he stopped again, and he crossed that out, and he put, I've been really good in the last 2 weeks. And then he crossed that out and he put, I've really tried to be good. You know, boys and girls, none of us are good enough for anything that God gives us. This morning and today we're going to say thank you a lot. Well, I hope you are going to say thank you a lot for all the things that you'll be given, you'll have at Christmas time. And you know, we're not good enough for any one of them. Jacob, you remember him? We were thinking of him just recently in an evening service, and Richard was preaching to us. And Jacob said, I am not worthy of the least of all your mercies. He said that to God. I'm not worthy really of anything. And boys and girls, we have so much, don't we? So much. And then somebody else writes in the Bible about God's unspeakable gift. It's just unspeakable what God has given. Given his only son. Given him to you and me. And we're not good enough, not even for 2 weeks. We're not good enough any day, are we? We sin every day. And yet God has given us this great and wonderful gift of his son. Let's pray together. Lord, we do come before you as children, as grown-ups too, to thank you, Lord, this morning for that unspeakable, that indescribable gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God gave his only begotten son. And Lord, as we receive gifts and presents today, and give them to others. And Lord, we say thank you to one another and to relatives and friends. We pray, oh God, that you would help us to realize and to understand that the greatest gift the world has ever known has come down from God. And indeed, every good gift, everything that we have has come down from you. And Lord, we're not worthy of the least of all the things you give us, not even worthy of its life itself. For we are sinners, and Lord, we have rebelled against you. Our hearts are wrong and sinful, and full of selfishness and pride. And yet, Lord, you have dealt with us in such a wonderful way, in your mercy and your grace. And we do thank you, Lord, for all that Christmas means, your great giving to us. Please bless us, we pray. And even as young ones this morning, help us to always think of the great gift and just what it cost for our salvation, that the Lord Jesus not only was born, but he died upon the cross, he gave up his life that we might be free, that we might one day be in heaven, that our sins might be forgiven. And we thank you, Lord, for that precious blood that was shed for us. Lord, we pray you'll bless these things to us. Be with us. We pray through this day for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
We read together from Luke chapter 1.
If you have a church Bible and you'd like to look it up, it's page 903. 903, Luke chapter 1, and reading from verse 26. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." I'm going to continue reading a few verses further on from there a little later on, but just want to bring greetings this morning from three people who specifically have asked us to bring greetings to the church here at Castlefields. Firstly, Mark Gregory. Some of us have been praying for him. Some of us know him. Mark has been very seriously ill recently. He has to have dialysis because of a kidney problem. And that is every week, three times a week. And during recent times, he's had a very serious heart operation. Well, he's home. And he spoke to us on the phone just recently. And I spoke to his wife. And they send their love and very much appreciate the fact that we've been praying for them. So please continue to pray for Mark and Gracie and their daughter Becky. Also Robert and Rosemary Baghurst in the United States, they say this: "We send you very warm greetings at this special time of the year in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank our Lord for each and every one of you for your faithful prayer and support over this last year. The Lord has been very gracious and faithful in meeting our needs in Him. We have just had more than 50 students graduate this last week and would say that this has been one of the best semesters that we have had. And there's an extended newsletter here which they've sent, which we'll put on the back notice board, from Robert and Rosemary. And then thirdly, from Bernard and Joyce in Zambia. Bernard got himself to a place where he could email, and so he sent us a specific email which he's asked us to read out this morning. We thank you for all your prayers and support throughout the year. We are pleased to report that your prayers have been answered for the two children and the house mothers who were admitted to hospital with malaria. Now, I don't recall that, but I think this letter has gone to others as well. The main highway from here is very bad. We may be cut off now. It is the only road from the Congo Republic and Angola into Zambia, and the first 100 kilometres is like a river of mud. We hope somehow that supplies will get through from the northwestern province. We are preparing for Christmas with the Sunday school and our orphan children. We are to go to the church on Christmas morning at 9:30 a.m. till about 12. They will stand in the front reciting their memory verses, and our choir children will sing hymns and choruses in English and in the local tribal language of Lunda. We will all go home and prepare for the Christmas party at 2 o'clock. We will gather in the chota, where there will be singing, acting out Bible scenes, and we will serve rice and local boiled beans, and then fritters, which is like a local donut, a couple of sweets each, and a cup of squash. So no turkey and Christmas pudding in Zambia this morning. It doesn't sound as much as the children in the Western world would get, but these kids have a wonderful time, even though they will not have presents and not Father Christmas. I know that they will be much more satisfied at the end of the day. The children's chapel is complete. We are fitting a thatched canopy over the front windows and the door to give protection against the heavy rain and the hot sun. The front steps are all laid out with granite stone from the nearby river, and inside the floor is again granite stones. It costs less than concrete, but looks a lot nicer. Please pray for us concerning all our work and for the children, especially the ones we can't reach every day in the bush. We try to feed as many as we can, but we miss so many also. Bless you all. We thank our God for all your practical prayer and support. A very happy Christmas to you all, and many blessings for the new year. Yours in the Lord Jesus, Bernard and Joyce. That'd be good to pray for these friends, wouldn't it? Let's pray together. Lord, we bless you and we thank you for all that we have this Christmas time that we might rejoice in and praise and thank you for. We thank you, Lord, for our families and for the gifts that we will give today. We thank you, Lord, for the good things, food and drink and all, Lord, that you have given to us. As we've been reminded already, Lord, we take nothing for granted. All is of your good gifts to us, that grace that you have shown to us, even in these common things of life. And we do think of those, Lord, far away from us. We think of Bernard and Joyce, particularly at this time, as they will be worshipping with the children there, those orphan children they're looking after. We pray, Lord, that you will bless them and be with them. Make this day a special day, we pray. And Lord, we thank you for all that they do and for all their self-giving. And we pray, Lord God, that you would support them and help them in this coming year as it lies ahead. We pray for their health and strength, particularly, Lord, for Bernard with his age. We pray, Lord, that you would be with them both and encourage them and bless them and uphold them, Lord, in all things. We thank you for them and for the great example that they have been to us in this work that they have been called to do. Lord, we pray that we might be faithful in the way that you have called us to. We pray, Lord, for Robert and Rosemary. We thank you for them, Lord, and for their long time in the mission. We thank you, Lord, for all that they have done. And we pray, Lord, for them now as they help with the training of young people, particularly going out into the mission field. We thank you, Lord, for these many new ones going out to different places around the world. And we thank you for them, Lord, that you would lead them and guide them and bless them in the work that they do for you. We thank you for Daniel and Elizabeth Moore and others too, where we have heard during this last year of great things that have been done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that you are saving your chosen people, calling them out of different nations and tribes and peoples around the world. And we thank you, Lord, for the new tribe's mission and for all that is done in their name. And we pray, Lord God, for them, for it is done in your name ultimately, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above all names, and the only name given amongst men under heaven, whereby men and women, boys and girls, might be saved. Lord, we pray for them too, and pray you'd watch over them and bless them at this time. And for Mark and Gracie and Becky, we pray, Lord, for them, and for others too who have difficulties and illnesses and trials and tribulations and problems over this Christmas time. Lord, we pray that you would minister to them, and Lord, that you would bless them. We pray for those in our own fellowship who are shut in this morning in the homes, and Lord, those that are laid aside through sickness, we ask, Lord, that you would be with them and bless them too. Come to them, Lord, we pray, by your Spirit, and bring comfort and help and strength where it is needed. So, Lord, we commit all these things to you, thanking you, Lord, for the fellowship of the saints, and not only here this morning in this building, but around the world. We thank you, Lord, that you have your people, that great family of God, those you have adopted and brought into your family, who call you Heavenly Father. And, Lord, we thank and praise you for all these, your people, and pray, Lord, that you would bless us and be with us as a church as we seek to make the gospel of the Lord Jesus known in this city and beyond in the coming year. Thank you for all your goodness to us, even during this last year. And we pray and commit all these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen. No particular notices this morning, other than to say our normal services on Sunday at 10:45 and 6:15. John Ward will be preaching here in the morning and Peter in the evening. And remind you that the offerings today are for Caring for Life. There's a box at the back, the work up in Leeds. And any money given today, offerings today, will be given to that work. And then any other offerings given in an envelope over the next couple of weeks, please put it in the normal offering, and we'll ensure that goes to Caring for Life. And then you never know what's going to be in the pulpit. We've got a bucket of love here this morning. Those of you here on Wednesday heard about these buckets going out to Serbia. And Arthur was telling us about the work over there, Blytheswood Care. There are some details here, and you can order your bucket from Arthur. They come in a range of colours. This is the blue one. You can get a different coloured one. And the idea is you fill them. There are details in here of what you fill them with over a period of time, and then they can go out to Serbia and help with the folk over there. We saw some pictures on Wednesday of those in real need. So this is not a Christmas offering particularly, but for you to use really just any time and throughout this year. So please take a leaflet afterwards and talk to Arthur if you'd like any more details. Now we're going to sing together number 183, 183. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. 183.
And the birds there. thy couch was the Son of the Son of God in the deserts of Galilee. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. Thou camest, O Lord, with a living word that should set thy people free. But with mocking scorn and with bowed heart torn, they bore thee to Calvary. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is wrath since thy only plea. And such is ring, and the choir shall sing, at thy coming to victory. Let our voice go before, saying, yet there is room at my side for thee. And my heart shall rejoice, Lord Jesus, when thou comest and callest for me.
Please turn with me to Luke's Gospel and chapter 1. In the Church Bible, page 904. It's good to have so many visitors with us this morning. We do welcome you. We've taken a little series over Christmas time by using that familiar text in Luke 2 verse 16, where it tells us Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And on Sunday, at our carol services on Sunday morning, we thought about that baby lying in the manger and asked this question: why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? It seems to be a question that not many people today can answer. And we're sad about that. We sought to look at what the Lord Jesus himself has to say. And we saw four things that Jesus said: that he came to fulfill the law and the prophets. He came to make sense of everything. And there is no sense in this world today without Jesus Christ. We saw secondly that he came to call sinners to repentance, that each one of us are sinners, and we need that repentance and faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we saw thirdly that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And we talked about the lostness of life without Christ. When that seizes you, when that dawns upon you, when you realize how lost you are, it's a terrible thing. And yet we saw fourthly that the Lord Jesus said that he came down to pay the ransom price, to purchase our salvation with his precious blood. Why did Jesus come? Well, he came to be the saviour of his people. And then on Sunday evening, we thought about Joseph, and we thought about this man. We don't hear much about him. We don't know much about him, but we saw something of the quiet, effective challenge that Joseph brings to each of our lives. The challenge of his faith. Remarkable request of God to this man that he believe and trust what he's being told. And we saw that was a gift of God. Real faith, trust to believe, exercised and acted upon. And we saw he was an example of calling. He was a faithful man in his calling. He was a carpenter, an ordinary man from an ordinary place. Nothing extraordinary about Joseph. And yet God used him, made a mark in history, simply because Joseph was faithful to his calling. And you know, you and I, we may not think we're doing anything special, but as Christians, as believers, God is marking history by your life and my life. That is a remarkable thing and a great thought. faithfulness in our calling. And we saw he was a man of devotion as well, putting God first in everything, ensuring that all was done in accordance with God's word, right throughout the young life and childhood of the Lord Jesus, yearly going up to the temple, doing that which God required. And that's what we are to do, isn't it, in our lives, to live a life of faith, calling and devotion to God. Now we come this morning then to think about Mary, and I want to read with you in Luke chapter 1, that which we call the Magnificat, between verse 46 and 55. Why is it called that? Well, when you see how it begins in the English, it says, "And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord." In Latin, it begins with the word Magnificat. Magnificat, ama, anima, mei, domina. And it means what it says there, my soul magnifies the Lord, Magnificat. And so it's become known as the Magnificat. And it's in these verses what Mary says. Let's read them together. This is God's word. Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Saviour, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Before we just come to think of a few things from that passage of Scripture, let's just pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word, for all that it tells us of the Lord Jesus Christ, all the prophecies concerning him, those appearances pre-incarnate, those things that happened around the incarnation in the early years of our Saviour, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his reign in glory. And Lord, we see that all Scripture points to him. It's a signpost to him, speaks of him, declares him, shows him, even gives us that which he said and did. And Lord, we see Christ in all the Scriptures. And Lord, we see him here in these early chapters in Matthew's Gospel, in Luke's Gospel. And sometimes, Lord, they're so familiar to us. We've seen them so many times, heard them preached upon, come to many carol services and Christmas morning services. And yet, Lord, we pray that by your Spirit, you would take your word this morning and bring it home as if it was new and fresh to our hearts, as if we had never heard it before. Lord, that it may be a living word, that we might remember it. And Lord, that you would seal it up to our hearts and in our lives. Lord, we pray. We do not come to look at Mary, but we come to look through her, as it were, in your word to the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not come to look at Joseph, though, Lord, we saw very much of what it is to be a Christian in that lowly and humble calling that he was given, that devotion that he showed, and his faith. Lord, all these things are in Christ. And so, Lord, we pray that as we come this morning, we might see through your word, even to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and worship him, know him more. We ask these things in his name. Amen. When we think of Mary, you know, we could quite easily just simply draw out the same lessons that we had when we thought about Joseph, because she exemplifies the same faith, doesn't she? God, through the angel, called her to believe and trust and act upon his word. Faith and calling, her calling. This simple young woman was called out of her family and situation and to do that which God gave her to do. Remarkable and wonderful things in a way, but to be a wife and to be a mother. Her calling and her devotion to the Lord, shines through as we read about her. It's not surprising that Mary and Joseph exemplify the same things, for they were a Christian married couple, husband and a wife. And when two Christians come together to be married, as Joseph did marry Mary, they become one. And as we become one, we become one in all things. And Mary and Joseph, in their faith together, in their calling together, and in their devotion together, were one together. And J.C. Ryle draws out a lesson from that, the combined faith of this husband and wife, Mary and Joseph. This is what he says. Let us be willing to go anywhere and to do anything and to be anything, whatever the present and immediate inconvenience, so long as God's will is clear and the path of duty is plain. And this was the calling that God gave to Mary and Joseph individually, and then together as a married couple, to follow that path of God's will. And we see them doing that. And yet it's not easy, is it? It is very difficult. This path of faith they are called to tread. Now think of where this passage, this Magnificat, is set. In verse 26 of Luke 1. How the angel comes to Mary. Come to Joseph as well. And the angel reveals to her, tells her, what would happen, what would be. Incredible things. And verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Immediately it seems that when the angel had announced to Mary that the child to be conceived in her would be of the Holy Spirit, she goes away. And she goes away from Joseph for that 3-month period, and it must have been quite an incredible time for her, all the things going on in her mind and so on. And yet she comes, and we read in verse 41 what happened. It happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. These remarkable things. And there's this oneness between them in friendship, and this amazing series of events that God had called them both to. Now at some stage in those 3 months when Mary was with Elizabeth, maybe immediately or maybe sometime during that period, Mary writes, maybe she sings, maybe she prays, we're not sure, are we? We're just simply told, Mary said, she said these things, what is written here between verse 46 and 55, she said these things. Did she say them in her heart? Did she say them out loud? Did she write them down? Did she sing them? Did she pray them? I don't know. All I know is this, that when Luke interviewed her, when Luke said to Mary, Mary, tell me, what happened? What was it like? Mary tells him the exact words came into her mind and into her heart that day. And here is inspired the word of God. And Luke writes it down. The very words that God intended, spoken by Mary, spoken at that time. And here they are now. And they bring to us three very deep questions. Very searching questions this morning to each one of us. And I thought we could just share those questions this morning together and ask them and answer them in our own hearts. I think the first question that this passage of Scripture, these things that Mary utters, the first question that they ask us is this: how thankful are you this Christmas? How thankful are we this Christmas? Because we read these words and there is a spirit of thankfulness and praise and grateful acceptance and wonder in what Mary says. It flows through these verses. But we know that in a way she is unique in her indebtedness to God for the amazing privilege that she has been given. Remind you in verse 28, "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favoured one.'" I think in the Authorised Version margin there it says, "Highly graced one," the grace of God upon her. "The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Unique. "And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was." She was unique. There was no other woman in the world who would bear the Son of God. She was chosen of all women to do that. But can't we, as ransomed, healed and restored and forgiven sinners, not agree with her when she prays and sings and utters these words, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Saviour." Here is the joy. Here is the thanksgiving. Here is the grateful heart of Mary. And it asks us this question: are you really grateful? Am I really thankful this Christmas for all that God has done for me? Isn't that what Mary says in verse 49? "For he who is mighty has done great things for me." If you're a Christian this morning, isn't that something that you can say? That he who is mighty has done great things for me. Oh, Mary, she spoke in that uniqueness of what God had given her to do, but she utters words that you and I can utter too. Isn't it amazing in verse 50 she says, "His mercy is on those who fear him." His mercy is on you and me. And when we realise what should lie upon us, the wrath of God, the justice of God, the judgment of God, that is what naturally lies upon men and women and boys and girls. From the day that we are born, conceived, we're conceived in sin, we live in sin, and on us is the judgment of God, the wrath of God. We don't like to think of it. We want to somehow shrug that off, but it's true, isn't it? And yet, here is the grateful, thankful heart of a redeemed child of God, who says, "His mercy is on me now." His mercy. To know the mercy of God. What a privilege Mary knew to be the one who would bear the Son of God. The angel told her. In verse 31, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. Will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." What a relationship Mary had with her son. And I've been reading J.C. Ryle this week, and you'll read this in Ryle. He says this about that relationship: "The relationship with Jesus as mother who bore him was wonderful. The relationship Mary had as a believer brought her nearer still than even that of mother of the Lord Jesus. For she was able to say in verse 47, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Saviour. Now that is an amazing thought, to think that Mary, though the mother of Christ, who knew the relationship as mother to son, that little baby, that relationship so marvellous, so incredible, our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man, that relationship is not as great as the relationship that she knew with him as her Saviour. So that's what Ryle is saying. The relationship Mary had as a believer brought her nearer still than even that as mother of the Lord Jesus. And you know what? If you're a Christian this morning, you have a relationship with Jesus Christ that is nearer still than Mary had as his mother in human terms. That is amazing. That should fill our hearts with grateful, thankful, wondering amazement. How thankful are you this Christmas to have a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Saviour? Second question that this passage asks each one of us is this: how humbled are you? How humbled are we this Christmas? How this grace of humility, it pervades these verses like that spirit of thankfulness, that spirit of humility. As we read these verses, it's there all the way through it. It's like John the Baptist in these verses. John the Baptist, remember, he said, he must increase and I must decrease. And there's that same spirit that runs through these verses here as Mary. The Lord Jesus is yet to even be born, yet she's humbled. She's aware of her lowly state by the greatness and the glory of all that is happening. Not only that she will be the bearer of the Son of God, but she will be a saved one by the blood of that Son. Oh, she's humbled by it. Mary's great desire was the magnification of God. My soul magnifies the Lord. How can you make God bigger? How can you magnify God? Well, you cannot. It's a bit like the telescope that we've seen pictures of recently beaming back these pictures to Earth of these stars and galaxies that man has never seen before. Millions of them. Now that telescope can see them. It magnifies them. Not that they're any bigger. They haven't changed in size. But they look bigger to us. We can see them. We can see more of them. And God is not made bigger. You cannot make God bigger. But what Mary is saying is this: that in her life, in her soul, in her heart, in her worship, in every part of her, she wants to make God appear bigger. Her understanding of him, her worship of him, her portrayal of him, her witness to him. And the problem is with our lives is that very often we are too big. So we make God too small. And our lives are to magnify God. You can't make him bigger. But it's to display him. As a telescope displays the far off stars, makes them appear nearer, makes them appear in more detail. You can see them. And sadly, others don't see God because because they see us. And humility is the highest grace. Sometimes we don't display it. And here's this question to our hearts and lives this morning. How humbled are we? How humbled are we by this mighty truth of the incarnation? This great truth that the Saviour of the world is being born, is born and lived upon this earth and died and rose again. This great example of Mary. In her humility, she simply wanted to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, to point away from herself, to point to him. Now, the Catholic Church would tell us that Mary is all sorts of things, that she is not in Scripture. They want to magnify Mary, make her sinless. Say that she was assumed into heaven, body and soul. That she sits upon a throne in heaven and somehow is a mediator along with the Lord Jesus Christ. That magnifies Mary. We find that Mary magnifies the Lord. And we must be so careful of those things that seemingly magnify us. They will make the Lord Jesus smaller in the view of others and in ours. My soul magnifies the Lord. He has regarded the lowly estate of his handmaiden. How humbled are we this Christmas? And then lastly, the question, how understanding are we? How understanding are we this Christmas? By understanding, I mean spiritually. By understanding, I mean discerning, aware. Aware of God. Aware of his character. Discerning of his ways and of his purposes. Aware of his word in my life and what it means. For Mary here displays a remarkable knowledge in that sense, a remarkable understanding, a remarkable discernment and awareness of God, of his ways and his word. There are four specific things in this passage that stand out. They are quite amazing. They stand out in Mary's understanding. The first is her understanding of God, her awareness of him. Just put your finger on verse 46. And then run down with me. For every verse tells us something that Mary knows, understands, is aware of concerning God. Verse 47, his salvation. Verse 48, his condescension. Verse 49, his might. And again in verse 49, his holiness. In verse 50, his mercy. In verse 51, his strength and his power. In verse 52, he is the one who pulls down. He is the one who exalts. In verse 53, his filling, his supply. In verse 54, his helping, guiding, keeping. Verse 55, his speaking and his word. Mary is full of God. In her awareness, in her thinking, in her knowledge. Full of God. And then secondly, she's very aware of herself. Very aware of herself in the light of God. Verse 46 and 47, she refers to herself. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Saviour. He has regarded the lowly estate of his handmaiden. You see where she puts herself every time? Where she puts God? where she puts her Saviour. She's so aware of God, she's aware of herself. She's aware in verse 47 that she's a sinner. Because you don't need a Saviour unless you're a sinner. She's aware of herself. In verse 48, she's nothing other than what God has made her. You aware of that? But our understanding, our awareness of God, our awareness of ourselves. Who are we? We are just what God has made us. She's also aware of history. Her perspective of God's doings. Past, present and future. In verse 50 she refers to the generations that will come. From generation to generation. She knows that God has a purpose and a plan. And it goes from generation to generation. It goes on. It's future. But in verse 51 and 52, she's referring there to this God, the same God, who scattered the proud and pulled down the mighty thrones of great nations. She is aware of the history of her people. She's aware of the Egyptian nation that was brought low, of the Assyrians and the Babylonians and all the rest of them. She's aware of God's purposes past and future. She's aware of herself. She's aware of what God is doing now. She's aware of the present. She is so aware. She is so knowledgeable and understanding. Why is God doing all this? Verse 54, to help his servant Israel. God has a chosen people. All the purposes of God are bound up in his Son and in his people. Verse 55, he is fulfilling all his promises. They go right back to the time of Abraham. And they go on forever. Mary has an amazing awareness of God, of herself, of God's dealings in history, past, present, future. And also she has an amazing awareness of Scripture. When we read these verses, they are not only full of God, full of understanding of self, full of understanding of history. They're full of the Bible. The Bible, full of the Bible. Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 2 begins not quite in the same way, but it's so similar. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation." Oh, Mary knew that, didn't she? She knew that passage of Scripture. When she thought through these things, wrote them down, sang them, whatever she did, when she reported them to Luke, Luke would have known that is so similar to Hannah's prayer. But you see, Mary was full of Scripture in her mind, that it was natural that out should come, out of a heart and a mind full of God's Word. God's Word. And if you've got Hendrickson's commentary on Luke's Gospel, Hendrickson has a little table, a little chart. And in that table he goes through all these verses in the Magnificat, and he shows that there are over 30 Old Testament cross-references to these verses here. That Mary, in little bits and snippets, takes 30 or more verses of Old Testament Scripture, and they're in what she says, what she prays, what she sings that day. In other words, her Scripture is soaked in pre-existing Scripture. I think about Jonah, which we did on the house party a year or so ago, and we're thinking about Jonah and his prayer in the belly of the fish. It's very similar. Jonah was a man of God. Jonah knew God, though he was on the run from God, but soaked in his mind and his heart was the Bible. And when he prays, it comes out. If you're a Christian, you may be a backslider this morning, but God's there, isn't he? The Word of God is there. You know it, you remember it. We should be full of Scripture, because this book This word is everything to us, to guide us and help us in life. And it was already the case with Mary. Already as a young woman, she knew the word of God so much that when things happened to her which changed the course of her life, when great decisions had to be made, when real wrestlings of heart took place, it was the Bible, it was God's word that steered her thinking. So it should be with us. How understanding are you this morning? Have you forgotten? Have we forgotten how much we need God's word? Where we are in perspective of history and what God is doing. Ourselves and God. How humbled are we by all that we see in the incarnation and the wonder of salvation? How thankful are we this Christmas time? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you and praise you for every part of your word. And here we find this remarkable prayer or song, whatever it was, of Mary. That time with Elizabeth away from Joseph. And yet, Lord, you impressed upon her these words. They might be reported to Luke and written down and become part of the eternal word of God, never changing word that applies to each one of us this Christmas time. Lord our God, we pray as we go away with these three questions in our minds, that we might answer them ourselves in the light of your knowledge of us. Just how thankful are we? How humbled? How understanding of all that Christmas means. Lord, bless this word to our hearts, we pray. And this day, we commit it to you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing 172. O come, all ye faithful. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be glory given. 172.
Sing in exaltation, sing, O ye saints.
Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now through this Christmas day and in the days to come and forevermore. Amen.